Compliments can be a quicksand trap. This is Dr. Herbert L. Bailey, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with the Instant Illumination. Compliments can be a quicksand trap. Oh, how often we love to receive compliments. How often we want compliments. We just probe the world for compliments. We smile to ourselves. We say to ourselves, I don't need compliments. I know that I'm good. I know that everything is all right. I don't need compliments. I don't need compliments. And then what do? Well, then we just go and try to get compliments. And how do we get them? Well, we get them by hearing people say nice things about us. Hearing people compliment the things that we're doing. Hearing people tell us all the things that we're doing are so wonderful, so good, so beautiful, and all that sort of thing. And then, that's not bad enough. But then to feel good when they say it, wow, we really make a mire for ourselves to trap ourselves. The quicksand that draws us down is the quicksand of needing something like that. People who are equally as bad, including ourselves, of course, are people who have so many compliments, they say, oh, you don't mean that. Oh, that's true. And then, of course, everybody says that. And, you know, to have a compliment in our world is really a very difficult situation. It demands a very special attitude on our mind, a very special attitude from us. It is not an easy thing to do. Because when artists receive compliments for their performance, and they love to have the applause, and a second applause, and a third applause, and encore, encore, and they come back, and they bow, and they bow, and they bow. Actually, when the performer does a good job, and the audience claps, or whatever they may do, he should stay away. Because when he comes back, he may trip. He may say something that would mess up everything that he's done up to that time. He may do something that is inharmonious with the beautiful applause that he received for whatever he did. And this happens to us, too, oftentimes. Oftentimes people say to us, you did such a good job. And you don't know how to say, well, thank you very much. I appreciate you noticing it. I appreciate you being it. And where we try to put it on the other shoe and say, well, it takes one to know one. You are fantastic yourself. You're glorious yourself. And we think that sort of alleviates the problem, but it really doesn't. All it does is just expiates the attitude that's going on, the attitude that there needs to be a compliment. Well, if the world needed compliments, and you know what a compliment is approval from somebody else. If the world needs a compliment, approval from somebody else, then the world's in great trouble. Does the sun need to have people appreciate it for shining and for being too hot or not hot enough? Does the rain need to have people appreciate it because it makes their crops grow and waters their grass and sometimes floods their towns and destroys the world they're familiar with? Does any object of nature need to be appreciated to have it be a glorious thing, and sometimes inglorious? Does a person need to have someone say, oh, you are a good mother. You do that so nice. Well, you better be a good mother, because that's what you chose to be, so you're going to be the best. Now, no one can compliment you sufficient for who you really are. Therefore, it is better not to have any compliments. If you say, well, Herb, then that's not what makes the world go round. What makes the world go round is when we compliment one another, when we are saying nice things about one another. No, that's not true. What makes the world go round is when we live in harmony and love and peace. When we live in joy and respect for one another. When we live in peace and harmony and joy. You see, when we live like that, then we are living in our most noble, wonderful, fabulous way. We are living in our most exquisite way that we could ever live, because we are so filled with love. We are so filled with unconditional love. We do not recognize whether we get it or not. And of course we do get it. We get it because we give it. We are it. There's nothing else we know but love. But if we were searching for love, we are not unconditional love. If we're searching for someone to do, if you're searching for somewhere to be philanthropic, to give joy, peace, abundance to someone else, you're not joy, peace, abundance. You're not philanthropic. You are not generous and loving. Whenever we give with a purpose, whenever we give because we want a response, because we want proof that they're worthy of it, or that we're worthy of giving it, then we're in trouble. Then we are seeking out the compliments of life. We're seeking out the compliments of the world, and as we seek out these compliments, we are just drawing ourselves into the mire of our own our own lack of everything. I'm trying to think of an inward, there's no inward that popped up. But we're just drawing ourselves into the quicksand of our own thinking. And who wants that, my goodness? Now think about it. A mother is unconditionally loving to her child. Does she expect her child to give something back? No. If she does, she's not unconditionally. To be unconditionally loving is to love without any condition. To love without any condition of coming back or going out or doing anything. And wow, if we can train ourselves just that. If every mother and father and family could train themselves to be unconditionally loving, that family would be the most notable family in the universe. Now, there are some like that. Yes, there are probably more than we know. But these are families who are without condition, being themselves and having fun and living a glorious, notable, fantastic life. Is this what you can do? Oh, it's sure what I want to do and what I attempt to do all the time. I fail broadly, but I will fail trying and working at it and accomplishing it. And you know, perhaps I do it more often than I realize. And that makes it even better. Because if I do it because I do it as my nature is to do it, not because I want to do it because I'm supposed to do it or should do it, because it's the right thing to do, but because it's my nature to do it, wow, then I don't expect anything back from people. I don't expect people to give me money. I don't expect people to give me praise. I don't expect people to give me anything. I expect people to just be there so I can love them. I just expect people to be there so I can pour my joy and happiness upon them. Oh, I get a little bombastic sometimes, and I use a rough word now and then, but it does sort of get attention. And people sometimes think I'm just a mamby-pamby or a wimp because I'm so loving and so gentle and so kind. And I am a wimp when it comes to love, but I'm not a wimp when it comes to principle. I stand by principle 100% all of the time, and sometimes that doesn't make me sound lovable, but I tell you, it really is lovable. If I give water to a parched plant, then that plant is beautiful. If I give water to a parched plant, that plant is blessed and uplifted by the water I give it. But if I give water to that parched plant because I want that parched plant to like me, I'm in trouble. I'll probably drown it. Yeah, I'll probably soak it with water so much that, you know, a little is good, a lot is better. And I'll soak it with so much water that it'll die. And then, ah, what did I do, you know? Don't we do that? Don't we often do that? I take my plants and I put them in the sink and I soak them with water. And I take the pots out from under them. And then after they're soaked, then I put them back in their pot and I put them back on the shelf, along with all the other beautiful plants. And they have sufficient water to last for two or three days, maybe a week. But if I go longer than a week, they just are squeaking and hollering, saying, hey, I'm thirsty. And so I soak them again. And then I also take all the water away. Oh, I could leave a little water down below so they could draw it up and they could drink it and so forth. But it's not their nature to do that. It's their nature, by my training, by my teaching, by my sharing unconditionally with them, that they don't have to worry. Eat, drink and love and live and be happy, and you know that I am the source, and I bring them more water every couple of days so they have sufficient water to grow beautifully, bountifully, and wonderfully. And I don't give them compliments. I do say I love them. I do say, you're wonderful, I love you, you're so great. You brighten up my life, you brighten up my world. But it's me that brightens them to brighten me. And my unconditional love is what is flowing back to me from them. And I don't know this, but it's what I experience. We don't know who we give unconditional love to. We don't know who we would be careful of compliments. But you see, someone to whom we have done something nice need never compliment us. All they need do, if they need do anything at all, is to take whatever we've given them and use it. And that is the greatest compliment in the world. As a person uses whatever we give them, that's the greatest compliment. As we, you go to the theater and you pay $1 to get in there and see a good show and see a good performance, a live performance, and if the performers do not come across as a competent group of performers, you say boo, and you leave the theater and say that was a $5 poorly spent, you know. And you see, the compliment is that you go and be in their presence, and that's a compliment to trust and believe that they really can do a job in putting on the show. And then when they put on the show and you clap and then you leave, that's sufficient enough. Or the fact that you stayed through the entire performance is a compliment. You don't have to go any further or say any more. But be careful of those compliments, because I've been in many concerts, in many concert halls, and many of them across the world, and people would sit and applaud and applaud and applaud until their hands got red. And I thought to myself, what a silly thing. Take it in your heart, love it, and take it home and live with it for the next year or years. And as your memory takes you back to that wonderful concert you heard at the Belarus or whatever, and remember it and enjoy it. And just see those dancers and see the music and see the performance and let it just trickle into your heart and be a joy. What a compliment it is to them, and they don't even know it. They don't even know it. There's a story about a little lady, and this man went to a course, and in the course he was told, bless someone in your life that you haven't blessed, that you thought about, but you never said anything nice about them. And so this man remembered his school teacher back years ago, and he was a middle-aged man, and so he remembered the school teacher, and so he thought, well, I'm going to look her up and tell her how much I appreciated her being a teacher. Everyone in the class liked her. At every school reunion, we all talked about her being so wonderful. Well, he looked her up. And when he looked her up, he told her, he said, you know, you were our favorite teacher. You were so wonderful. And she said, oh, she had the note in her hands, and she was thinking to herself, oh, my goodness, here it is all these years. And I gave my best, and I was a good teacher. Now I'm retired, and I'm living in a one-room apartment alone, and I haven't anyone that I contact, I haven't made any contact, and here this man contacted me, and it was one of my students, and he tells me such glorious things, it just makes my day, it just makes me feel wonderful. Well, the man did it for himself. He did it for himself to send the compliment to this teacher. The teacher was touched by the compliment, and that's fine, but if the man had really been a positive, dynamic person, he would have gone to visit the teacher, wherever she may be, on the other side of the continent. He would have gone to visit her, and he would have perhaps taken some of his co-students along to greet her and say something to her. Or he would have sent her an airline ticket and said, come, We're having a school reunion and we want you there. And so she comes to the school reunion and all the youngsters from the school reunion who are now adults with families and grandchildren, they gathered around her and they said, oh, it was so wonderful to have you there. And you see, giving gifts of that nature far exceed any word of a compliment. It's a compliment truly, but it's a compliment with real feet underneath it, with real love and with unconditional joy in it. And what a wonderful way to do things. What a wonderful way to be. Yes, compliments can be a quicksand trap. So rather than making compliments, just unconditionally love everybody in your world. Just like you unconditionally love yourself. And I tell you, life is filled with so many beautiful things that when you just let go, and let that unconditional love be your driving force for your life, everything works out beautiful for you. And you are the richest, the most wealthy, the most healthy, happy, hearty, the most fulfilled being on the face of the earth. I should know. I live in that attitude, in that consciousness, and I am so happy. So, my beloved friend, it's a joy to be talking to you. Wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing, because I love you. I love you. I love you.